If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
In the book of Romans, chapter 8, Paul sits and writes to Christians. There is no Christian church in Rome. Rome is a place where the Christians are nesting, but they have no organized church, and they are under intense persecution because Nero, at this time, blames them for everything. Nero even said, if the Tiber River floods, blame the Christian. It's their fault. And so Paul writes to them because they're in a quagmire. They don't understand how to live this godly life in such a wicked, wicked land. And so he writes to them in its first chapter, which I believe is the chapter that really cost him the beginning of his execution. He has already written some good stuff to the Thessalonians. And under his first arrest, he wrote some good stuff to the Ephesians and the Colossians and to the Philippians and to Philemon. And he wrote some good stuff under the first arrest, but now he's out again, and he's walking around preaching. And when you get a sense that it's almost your time to leave, your purpose increases. And you can read this in the Word of God. Every time a person gets closer to their departure, their message becomes more adversarial and confrontational. Every time. Every time. You become confronted with the licentious lifestyle of the leadership, and you are called by God to challenge it. John the Baptist did not lose his head over his preaching in the Jordan River. He lost it when he confronted Herod and told him it was unlawful of him to be involved with his brother's wife. Jesus was all right as long as he argued with the Pharisees and the Sadducees about Hebraic law. But he got into trouble when he began to promote the kingdom, because then that challenged Rome. Christians don't care if you talk about the mamby-pamby theological stuff of the scripture. But the moment you start talking kingdom, they think something's wrong with you. As long as Dr. King focused on Alabama and Mississippi, nobody cared. But when he started teaching universal doctrine, folk were challenged. As long as Malcolm X stayed up in Harlem, nobody cared. But when he challenged the philosophy of systematic racism, institutional racism, they needed him out the way. As long as you're content with just coming to church on Sunday, Satan ain't worried about you. You don't have no trouble. He don't follow you anywhere else. But if he senses that God is about to use you in another capacity outside of the comfort of these four walls, he'll visit you at night, challenge you during the daytime, lie to you, tell you you're not worth anything. But God needs you to fight through it, to evolve to the place where you are no longer a dinosaur, but you are a relevant participant in the advancement of the kingdom. And brother and sister, hear me. The secret to your Christian success lies in your ability to keep moving forward, even when there's tears in your eyes, pain in your body, disappointment in your spirit, and an unsettling in your soul, that even though nobody else likes you, you move forward because God has sanctioned you. And so Paul writes in this eighth chapter, he writes something that sets us up for the evolutionary process. He says in chapter 8, verse 18, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." See, when you have your mind on the immediacy of this time, then you lose heart when you're going through something. But if you have your mind on kingdom principles, you'll be encouraged every time you go through. You won't say, God, why is this happening to me? You'll say, God, I know why it's happening to me. You're about to lift me up where the devil can't reach me. You're tired of me being in kindergarten when you've got a college career waiting for me. You're tired of me talking about going through, but you want me to experience it. You're tired of me talking about how good you are, but you want me to taste and see that the Lord is good. This is evolution. Hallelujah. I was 14 years old when my mama removed my curfew. She said, you can stay out as long as you want to. A couple times I took her up on it and stayed out all night. I met her coming out to go to work when I was going into the house. I remember my father being extremely upset about the fact that a 14-year-old did not have a curfew. And I remember hearing the conversation. And I remember hearing Mama say, Eric, he knows what to do. We've taught him what to do. Staying out all night does not always translate into doing things that were unlawful. I'd stay out all night and just sit in Joey's basement, and we were listening to music and just watching whatever was on television. We did nothing wrong, but Mama trusted me. God says, I've given you my anointing. I'm trusting you that you won't pervert it, pollute it, or prostitute it. Now, you can preach whatever you want to preach. I don't have to give you a sermon all the time. I trust you to give the people what they need to hear. And you draw that conclusion based upon the situations I've delivered you out of, knowing that no one goes through something that nobody else is not going through at the moment. So I'm going to trust you to give them what you've come out of. For if you do not have a testimony of pain, you cannot appreciate a gospel of grace. If you have not met the devil face to face, then you cannot testify about my keeping power. If you have not shed some tears all night long, then you will not appreciate the joy that comes in the morning. I want my relationship with you to be more than a shout because of the organ. I want you to learn how to dance when there's no music playing. I want you to learn how to give me praise when everything looks bad. I reckon this is the southern part of Paul. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. When you look in your King James Bible, you will find after worthy, the three words to be compared are italicized. We learn from proper exegesis that italicized words are added by the translator to bring a certain closure to the thought. But what Paul is saying here is that I am convinced that the suffering of this present time should not even share the same space of the glory that I'm about to go through. Brothers and sisters, this calls for a radical change of mind. It literally means that when I'm going through something negative, don't even open your mouth to talk about the negative. It ain't even worthy to claim the same space. I won't even let it come out my mouth, the stuff I'm going through. I will anticipate the glory and speak about the glory. I will talk about the deliverance and speak to the deliverance. No longer will I give my praise hole the opportunity to be filled with complaining and fault finding. If you continue in this thought, he says that what I am going through is not worthy to be compared with what's about to come out of me. Those of you that have had children can identify that pain that you had, the discomfort that you felt in the third trimester. You didn't feel it in the first. It started to hit you around the second. You see, in the first, there's joy and jubilation. And people walk over and touch your pregnancy bump. And what are you wishing for? Oh, I tell you, I just believe God for a son. I believe God for a daughter. But I stand before you as testimony of the power and the sovereignty of God. what you are looking at is a result of the sovereignty of God. For my mama believed that I was going to be a girl. Even called me Crystal. At her baby shower, everybody brought her baby girl clothes, and yellow was my mama's favorite color. She had yellow dresses and yellow this and girl that and girl this. And they had a saying in those days, because they didn't have all that sophisticated stuff, they went by how you carried. And so God let me be carried in the girl position. But mama had not yet come to the Lord, so she didn't know about sovereignty. So everybody was rejoicing over little Crystal Lambert. But oh, on that day in June in Jefferson Hospital, when she pushed, somebody forgot to tell God that I was supposed to be a girl, because God looked and saw the pastor of Bethel Deliverance International Church. God saw the presiding bishop of the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. And my mama didn't even have a name for me. They took 5 days to name me. They came in and said, "What are you going to call him?" She said, "Just call him Eric." And that made me the junior. But you know, my brother's supposed to be the junior, because he's the oldest one. But when they named me junior, mama thought that was a helter-skelter move. But later on, we found that Eric meant godly power. God knew what he was doing. Don't you ever think anything that happens in your life is by accident. When you know God's in control. Some of you, your parents wanted to abort you, but God said, "Not on my watch." He brought you into this world, and please don't delude yourself into thinking he can't keep you. Now unto him that is able to keep what you commit into his hands against the day that the devil comes against you. Mama wanted a girl. God made me a man, and I have no qualms about my masculinity. Let that sink in. To those who are struggling. I'm struggling. I can help you. It's real simple. Just go to the bathroom and look. Whatever you see is what you are. You might be struggling on its use, but we can help you if you're a boy. Just come over to the sons of Elijah and go over to the daughters of Adonai if you're a girl. There are too many people floundering between creation and purpose. The hint to your purpose is in your creation. Whatever God created you to be, that's your purpose. If you're a female, you're supposed to be a woman of God. If you're a male, you're supposed to be a man of God. You don't need no prophecy. Prophecy came in anatomy.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number. Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.